Good evening. I am looking forward to a good lesson, looking forward to speaking from God's Word. As Chris put on the schedule last week, Pat talked about, he brought a lesson on leadership, and this tonight I want to talk about a lesson about development, and specifically at the end of the lesson, we're going to talk about ways that we can develop our Christian life, things that we can help to encourage others. But first, before we get to that, I want to lead into this past week. On Thursday, as Americans, we spent more than an average amount of time considering our blessings and how thankful we are. In Brother Steve's lesson, he talked about all the good gifts from God. All good gifts come from God. He praised God. He thanked Him for all the material blessings that we have. On Thursday, the nation set aside as a federal holiday, so that we could spend some extra time thinking about all the things that we have to be thankful for. And I don't want to portray this evening that as Christians that we're more thankful on Thanksgiving than we are any other day throughout the year. But I do want to reflect on some of the things that we're always to be thankful for. In just a couple minutes, we're going to see a video from some of our kids back in the younger classes, back in Emily's class and Corey's class. I spent a couple minutes a couple Sundays ago talking to them about Thanksgiving. So as we think about Thanksgiving, well, what is Thanksgiving to you? And that's Rhett, and we'll see him in just a second, so you can look forward to that. But as I think about Thanksgiving, we'll see what some of the kids' responses were. But it's a day that we eat turkey, dressing, dumplings, potatoes, maybe pumpkin pie. Maybe it's a day that we decide that we're going to watch football. For me and my cousins, we used to make my grandma buy us flour so that we could sprinkle flour for a football field in her front yard. So that's what I remember about Thanksgiving when I was younger. Not necessarily the cooking, but maybe it's a day that we set aside and we watch the parades that are on TV on Thursday morning. Or maybe it's a day that you can sleep in, relax, and then wake up early the following morning or maybe later that night. Maybe you can go shopping and save $10 on a TV that you buy from the frozen food section at Walmart. Or you see somebody fighting over the last PlayStation 4, or just in Danville, wish I had that video, people fighting over, I think it was the last hoverboard, one lady, and I use the word lady loosely, had another woman in a scissor hold with her legs. Those are entertaining things. Maybe that's what you think of when you think about Thanksgiving. But I asked the kids in those classes, and I said, well, what do you think about when you think about Thanksgiving? And I'm going to play this video, and as a newbie to playing the videos, I recorded it the wrong way, as Melissa told me. I'm supposed to hold the phone this way instead of this way. And then the sound doesn't come through great. That's my fault. But you'll get the point as you see these videos. So again, I said, what do you think about when you think of Thanksgiving? Maybe. Maybe not. Let's see. I promise it worked Thursday.
Eat with all your hands. Be with family and everybody that you care for. Gather around with the family that you may not get to go around often.
So you might not have heard it very well, but the consistent answer was you get to be with family and friends. Wyatt said you get to eat turkey. Wyatt must like turkey. Jamie said you get to see people that you don't get to see very often. And certainly that's the thing that I think about often when I think about Thanksgiving. Some Thanksgiving facts. It was first celebrated in 1621 by the Pilgrims. It was actually a feast that happened in October, and it lasted two or three days, and they celebrated their first harvest. 46 million turkeys are cooked each year by 88% of American families. That's a whole lot of turkey, and it makes you wonder, well, what does the other 12% eat? Is it ham or deer or chicken? The average Thanksgiving meal includes 3,000 calories and 230 grams of fat. just for your knowledge, 2,000 calories per day is the recommended intake for Americans. And I'm sure 230 grams of fat is a lot less than that than the as the recommendation. 50 million pumpkin pies are eaten on Thanksgiving. That's a whole lot of pumpkin pies. And then 32 million people begin Black Friday shopping on Thanksgiving. A total of 115 million shoppers shop that weekend. Certainly the busiest shopping weekend of the year. And you know, Black Friday isn't just for shoppers. It's also the busiest day of the year for plumbers. And I think that's an interesting fact, and likely because of number 3 and 4 there. But as we go on, I think about, you know, we have things to be thankful for today, tomorrow, next week, and next year. This number, it's a really big number, 31,536,000. To me, that is the number of seconds in a year. 60 seconds per minute, 60 minutes per hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You know, we always have something to be thankful for. If you look at it that way, we have 31,536,000 things to be thankful for. You know, for each moment that we pray, Steve prayed earlier, we have something to be thankful for. And, you know, oftentimes when we pray to God for certain things, we have an equal thing that we're asking for to turn around and thank Him for. You know, we could make a complete list. We could sit listing things time after time, hour after hour, about things we're thankful for and never get to the end of the list. Here's a something I saw on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and it made me think. You know, even when some things are not very desirable, we still have something to be thankful for. Let's take a look at those. It says early wake-ups. Well, that means you have children to love. That means you have people to get off to school or you have to get to work. It says houses to clean. That means you've got a safe place to live, a warm place to lay down at night. Think about laundry. You know, I do not like doing laundry, but having laundry means you have clothes to wear. Dishes to wash. You know, dishes aren't fun either, but that means you have food to eat. You got crumbs under the table, that means you have family meals. When you think about grocery shopping, that's our Friday night date. We go grocery shopping. We go to Walmart. You know, that's not a fun trip, but at least we have the ability to provide for ourselves. You got toilets to clean, that means you have indoor plumbing. When there's a lot of noise around, you know, Thursday we spent the day at my parents' house and there were 6 or 7 kids running around and they were loud and they were rowdy. But that means you had family to spend the day with. Number 9 there says endless questions about homework. That means you have kids that have growing brains that are wanting to increase their knowledge. And then number 10 it says, you know, when you're sore and tired and you're ready to lay down for bed, you know, that means that you're still alive and that you have the ability to go through those other 9 things that you just went through. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, I want to take a look at that for just a second. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm not going to have many of these verses up here. I encourage you to open your Bible and follow along to make sure that what I'm speaking is from God's Word, not necessarily from me. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, when I think about the idea of rejoice, well, that idea is to have great joy or delight. You know, people in the world are naturally happy on some occasions. But our joy as Christians, it's not dependent on circumstances. It comes from what Christ has done, from what God has done for us. It's a constant joy that we should have. You know, Christians are differentiated from the natural man. And why is that? It's because what God has done for us. We are to continually thank Him for whatever the circumstance that we have. Let's look also there at Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 20. It says, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. It says, "Always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father." You know, we always have something to be thankful for. Here at Providence, you know, we're really good about giving thanks. And not because we're anything special, it's just because that's how we feel about God, about the things that He's done for us. You know, every service, on multiple occasions, we give thanks. When we have potlucks at the park or someone's house, we give thanks. Think about baby or wedding showers. We give thanks for the people that come and celebrate those events with us. We're just incredibly thankful people. I think about Halloween, you know, we took our kids trick-or-treating. And you walk them into the house, they get their candy, and then what do we say to them? What are you supposed to say? thank you. That's what we do, right? Or if we go to Miss Nahina's or Miss Mabel's and they hand us the adult candy, what do we say? We say thank you. Or I hope we do, right? That's what we should do. Think about, you know, the Christmas holiday or birthdays when it comes to giving gifts. What do we tell our kids? Say thank you. It doesn't matter what you get. You got to say thank you. We command, we teach our children, we set that example to be thankful. In funerals, I know you're thankful. Well, that's an odd time to be thankful. But think about at funerals. Think about the people that gather around you. And think about the support that you have. You know, those are times that we need to be thankful as well, that we have such caring people that are willing to give up their day or willing to make food for us. Those are things that we have to be thankful for as well. And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, in everything that we do, we're to give thanks. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keep it alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. We're to always be giving thanks, whether it be for our job. You know, we have to get up early and go to that job, but we need to give thanks for that. Or the meals that we have, or Savannah's been driving for about a year. When she arrives somewhere, she sends us a text and said, I'm here, I made it. Well, that's an immediate time that we have to give thanks, that we can say, you know, thank you God for giving her safe travels. Or when we arrive at our destination, it's a perfect time to give God praise and to give Him thanks for watching over us and getting us to where we needed to go safely. Think about when we succeed and then also when we fail. You know, some of life's best lessons are when we fall short, when we don't do things that we need to do, when we don't succeed with what we were hoping would be the final outcome. You know, when we succeed, we need to give God thanks. And these are all times that we need to give thanks to God. You know, think about all good things come from above. Let's look over there in Psalms chapter 16. There's the psalmist talks about giving thanks and where those things come from. In Psalms chapter 16, verse 2, it says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no goodness beside you. What's that tell us? It tells us that all good things in our lives, they come from God. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing and we have nothing. The job that we have, we didn't get it by our own smarts, we got it from God. The family that we have, we didn't get them because we deserved it. We received them as a gift from God. The house, the car, the vacations, they're all gifts from our Heavenly Father. And we need to recognize that. Psalms, like there, that verse that says, I have no good beside you. And the psalmist is just recognizing that that all good things come from God. And then also in James chapter 1, we see another example of that. It says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shifting shadows. All good things come from God. I can't say it any better there than it's said in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing and every perfect gift is from where? It's from above. There's no questioning that. And then also there in James chapter 3, verse 17, turn over there if you will. James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So compare those good gifts that are just mentioned there in James chapter 3. It talks about wisdom, it talks about pureness, peace, gentleness, reasonableness, mercy, good fruits. Compare those to the things which do not come from God. What's the comparison? The things that don't come from God are foolish, they're not pure, they're harsh, they're unreasonable, they're bad fruits, they're wavering, they're constantly changing, they're full of hypocrisy. There's no comparison. We realize that all good things come from our Heavenly Father, and it's very important to recognize that. Next, I ask, hopefully this video will play there, but I ask our kids, I said, so what are you thankful for? So I recorded some clips from the two younger classes, and I asked them, you know, exactly, what are you thankful for? And you're going to see that some of these answers, they don't surprise you, knowing that knowing these kids and knowing you know, what kind of background they come from. You're going to recognize that these are certainly very pure, sincere, honest answers.
Jesus, I love my God and my Jesus. I am thank you for Jesus.
God, family.
I'm Molly. I'm thankful for my family.
my life, and I just thank because I love my house and I love my dog.
I'm happy. I'm thankful that God created us.
I'm thankful for the people who fought back for our country.
I'm thankful for everybody that's been so good to each other.
I'm thankful for everybody that, I'm thankful for the lives that we have today other than the lives we have that day.
I'm thankful for my family and they can help support us.
I'm thankful for the houses.
I'm thankful for the food that we eat.
I'm thankful for the chosen ones that we do.
I'm thankful for the freedom.
I'm thankful for if it actually had a roof over my head.
I'm thankful for all the electronics in life.
I'm thankful for the things that I want to watch.
I'm thankful for books.
I'm thankful for that God gave me a chance at life.
I'm thankful that God will live us down to time.
So we see the list there. You see God and Jesus, our houses, our family, our friends, our freedom, our trees, our plants, the people who fight for our freedom, books, life, electronics, that God allows us to have fun, the cars, the trucks, the dog. You know, these things that these kids say that they're thankful for, something to be proud of. I had to pull out of them those last few responses. All the responses were about mature things. It was about family. It was about our homes. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about electronics or cars or trucks or dogs. It was about things that truly matter. And that's certainly something that's encouraging. I'll say it for you all. I'm thankful for these kids and the attitude that they have and their willingness to participate in things of a godly nature, to set their minds on things that are above and not just material things. And there's nothing wrong with those material things, as we're going to talk about just in a second, but their focus was about things that mattered. It wasn't about immature things, and that's something certainly to be proud of. Think about Psalm chapter 86, as we're going to talk about just a few things that we have to be thankful for. Psalm chapter 86, verse 12, it says, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever." So, you know, we have so many things to be thankful for, so many spiritual things, so many spiritual, physical, emotional things, and we're going to just touch on a couple of those real quick this evening. First, it says, "My Jesus and my God." You know, Robbie's been presenting a series of lessons about what Jesus is to us. He's our propitiator. He's our high priest, our mediator, our comforter, our rock. And the answer is, I think, is what he's getting to. He's our everything, correct? That's what God is to us. And I like JJ's quote there. He said, "I am thankful for my God and my Jesus." And that's certainly something to be thankful for. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 3 real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I'm sorry, verse 13. It says, "In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify God, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." That phrase there at the end, "He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." You know, we are to be thankful for His creation, for His ability to sustain us, but His loving kindness is everlasting is certainly something to be thankful for. Loving kindness is defined as tenderness and consideration toward others. And we know that God certainly has that toward us because of the things that He gives us. And it's something to be praised. It's something to be thankful for. Let's go back to Psalms. In Psalms 107, we see another thought that says to give God, or that we're to be thankful for God. It says, there in verse 8, it says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the Son of Man. For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good." Now consider when you're really hungry or you're really thirsty, and how satisfying it is to have a drink of water or have something to eat. Well, imagine the person whose soul is thirsty and whose soul is hungry. God satisfies that physical hunger just as He satisfies the spiritual thirst and hunger as well. Think about there, it talks about the wonders of men. There at the end of verse 8. You know, consider all the many wonders that come from God. You know, those are physical wonders that sustain our life. They're the wonders of creation, of the wonders of birth, the wonders of the physical world. And then consider the spiritual wonders that God has done for us. He should certainly be at the top of our thank you list, don't you think? So look also there at in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, it's going to talk about the gift of grace. It says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge. So God's grace is something that is an amazing gift. It goes without saying that the gift of grace that is extended to each and every one of us, that we're not worthy of. You know, we have done nothing and we can do nothing to be worthy of the grace that's offered to us by God. So when it comes to God, we have His creation, we have His loving kindness, and we have His grace to be thankful for. The next thing let's consider is we have to be thankful for is the church or the church service, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, God prescribed that Christians come together for what? For edification, to build each other up, to praise Him and to study with Him. And there's some great wisdom in that. Think about there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, where God gave the commandment that we are to assemble together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, And let us consider how to stimulate one another in love and in good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, there's been many times when I didn't feel like coming to service, when I was too tired, or I didn't feel very good. I've got 1,000 other things that I can be doing. But every single time that I made myself go, I've not regretted being there. And I'm sure you all feel the same way. I've been edified. I've been built up. I've been relieved that I decided to go to service. You know, God did not command us to gather together for our physical health, even though later we're going to see that maybe plays something into it. He commanded it for our mental, for our spiritual health. He knew that we needed the support of each other, the support of everyone here this morning, to try to help tackle the things that are in our lives. We can't do it alone. Don't fool yourself. You can't tackle life's everyday ups and downs by yourself. It takes a ton of people surrounding you all along the way to tackle those things. By coming together, as Hebrews chapter 10 says, we stimulate each other. We stimulate each other to do good deeds, to love one another, to encourage. That's why we need to come together. And when I consider attending church service, compare it to a basketball player. Walker, if you've got 3 free throws and you hit one of them, is it very good? Not very good, is it? Andy, your patients at the dental office, if you tell them to brush your teeth twice a day and they do it on Mondays and Fridays, how's that? He's saying, no way. What if your kid has strep throat and your doctor says, you got to take this medicine for 10 days and you take it on the 1st, the 5th, and the 10th day? Is that any good? It's not, is it? So why would we not follow God's word when the doors are open, try to attend services? I don't know the answer to that. It's for you to figure out. And then I think about one other benefit of having brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, already been to that. And that is when you may see someone to sing and dance at your wedding. I'll move through this very quickly. Want to see that later? I'll post it. There's 4 people here who certainly know who that is. And then another thing to be thankful for is our family, our friends. Look at Psalms chapter 127. Let's see. Psalms 127 in verse 3 through 5 there. Psalms 127. It says, Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies at the gate. You know, through difficult times in our lives, through intense moments, it's our family, along with God, that we have to lean on, to provide reassurance. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when God decided that man needed a helpmate, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So at this time, he made Eve. He created the family at this point. Woman was created. Family is created. The scriptures talk about how important family is in one life. So that's certainly something we have to be thankful for. As the kids mentioned in the video, every one of them said that they're thankful for their family. And I assume we go all around this room, and that's going to be at the top of everyone's list, is something to be thankful for. When difficult times arise, when challenges come our way, when we need someone to talk to or to help to care for us, who do we look to? Who's always there without even having to ask for help? And it's our family. And then another thing is the material things. Kids mentioned, you know, the cars, the trucks, the toys, the houses, the plants, technologies. You know, there is nothing wrong with these things that we studied before. All good things come from God. Sometimes man takes those things and spins them and weaves them so that they're bad, but there's nothing wrong with these material things. They can actually be used, as Steve mentioned in his prayer, they can be used to help to serve God, to help to bring others to Him. And we should be looking for avenues of trying to do that. In Psalms chapter 9, verse 1, we see that. Psalms 9, verse 1, it says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders." Now, here the psalmist is likely referencing the wonders of God. Maybe talk about his saving acts. Maybe some miracles in regards to the Exodus from Egypt. But when I think about God's wonders and His creation, I can't help but think about, you know, the automobiles, the airplanes, our houses, the buildings that we see, the plants that we need to survive, the cycle of life, the changing of seasons, all of our technology. All of these things are a part of the wonders of God. God gave man the knowledge, the wisdom, and the physical supplies needed to make these things, to put these things into existence. And when we think about material things, we can't help but think about the things that we need to sustain our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about that there, beginning in verse 26. It says, "For this I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worthy than they are?" And he goes on to talk about these things. God's going to supply the physical needs for birds and for animals. Well, isn't he going to certainly supply those physical needs, the things that we need to sustain our lives, our food, our water, our air, our clothing? God's going to certainly take care of us, just as he does the birds of the air. Next, I want to think about some other things I'm thankful for. And I have the word "things" in quotation marks because these are not really things. And these are some things that I think that we can all work on as far as developing our Christian life, that we can help to influence and impact the lives of others as well. So these are things or characteristics that I'm thankful for. And the first one is encouraging words. You know, things such as good job or nice work or well done. You know, these are things that, these are compliments. They're free. Compliments do not cost a dime to hand out. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." The idea of encouraging one is something that's a commandment from God. We can encourage people all the time. It's easy to encourage someone. It's easy to tell somebody that's leading a song, you know, "Great job." Somebody that made you something to eat, to say, "That was delicious. That was great. Thank you." Those are easy things to pass out. And again, compliments are free. They cost us nothing. So let's not act like they cost us $10 every time we pass them out. Let's be willing to give those compliments out at all times. Next thing I'm thankful for is positive thoughts. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we see the idea of positive thoughts. If you'll turn with me there, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What's this verse telling us here? We need to dwell on the things that are beneficial. We need to dwell on the things that are positive in our life. I've seen the phrase before, we're too blessed to be stressed. You know, as we've talked about here, as we look around, we have so many things to be thankful for. We have so many ways that we've been blessed. And having a negative attitude or having an unpositive attitude or unpositive thoughts aren't going to get us anywhere. They're going to cause us to go down a narrow path of negativity. And those things are not productive. Those things are allow the devil to creep into our lives and to take our focus off of things that we shouldn't be focused on. You know, if someone were to bring you a pie for just for whatever reason, and they brought you a pumpkin pie, and you said, I don't like pumpkin pie, I want an apple pie. What kind of attitude is that? That's a wrong kind of attitude to have. Or what if your place of work is having a dinner and it's in Lexington or it's far away and it's early in the morning or late at night and people are complaining about it being at the wrong time or at the wrong place? Well, shouldn't we just be thankful for what we're getting? You know, those are things to be thankful for. We need to have a positive attitude toward everyone. And then another thing is good examples. Again, a couple Sundays I spent 15 minutes in those two classes back there, and I can't help but think about the examples that those 8 or 10 kids had before them. You know, we talked about Thanksgiving as a thing that they were thankful for, and I was expecting some silly answers from some 2 to 12-year-olds, and I actually walked away a little disappointed because I thought that's what I was going to get. I thought we were going to have some funny material, but I also walked away extremely impressed by their very mature answers. When I asked them for things that they were thankful for, there was one answer I thought I would for sure get. That would be money. Not one kid said money. Not one kid even thought about the idea of saying, I'm thankful for money. And that's an amazing, that's just an amazing thought. And what that tells us is that these kids have some good examples. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, we see the idea of having a good example in our life. It says, train up a child in the ways he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. But these kids who have a good example in their lives, well, what kind of adults are they going to grow up to be? They're not going to be perfect, but they're going to have a much better chance of doing what's right than kids who don't have these type of examples in their life. And I think, you know, having a good example, that's one thing that I'm thankful for. That's one thing that we can all work toward in improving our Christian walk of life, is we can work towards being a good example to others. We can work toward having positive thoughts for everyone, and we can work towards having encouraging words for everyone. We're about done here. As I think about the idea of being thankful or grateful, I think about some proven benefits of being grateful. I ran across this article, and I'm just going to PowerPoint or bullet point some of these. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. And what kind of relationships are we trying to open the door to? Relationships which get people through those doors. That's the type of relationships we're trying to build. A grateful attitude will develop those relationships better than an ungrateful attitude will. Gratitude improves physical health. I don't know the study behind that, but I can certainly see how that makes sense. If you have a grateful attitude, if you're thankful all the time, you're less stressed, you're less worried about other things, you're more thankful for what you have, I can see how that would have an improvement on someone's physical health. It improves psychological health. Think about how you feel when you say thank you to someone, or when someone says thank you to you. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel good, I would think. It enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Just goes without saying, you're more empathetic when you're grateful. When you have that mindset, you're more empathetic and you're less likely to show aggression towards someone else. Grateful people sleep better. You know, it's a lot easier to lay down your head and at night and say, you know what? Thank you, God, for everything that you've done for me. Thank those people for the people who've had a positive influence, who have done something nice for me. That makes me go to bed easier. It makes me sleep easier. It also improves self-esteem. When you say thank you to someone, when someone says thank you to you, you feel good about yourself. You can't help but walk away feeling better than you did before. It had increased his mental strength. You know, whether these are 100% true, it's probably not. But I almost assure you that if you're grateful, if you're thankful, if you have the understanding that you're blessed, these things will hold true in your life as well. Then as we wrap up the lesson, we have one final thing to be thankful for. And just like a good basketball coach drawing up a final play in a game, a travel agent planning the perfect vacation, a wedding planner taking care of the final touches on a wedding, we should be especially thankful for a plan. And that is a perfect plan of salvation. You know, God provided that the roadmap to salvation. He provided that in the Scriptures. It's ready to be reviewed, and it can be put into action even this evening. The steps are simple, and it's something that we can be thankful for. It's laid out right in front of us. As we study the Scriptures, it's in many different places. There's many different verses that back up this perfect plan of salvation. To become a Christian, one must hear Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We must believe and must repent, as Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says. We must confess Jesus before men. We've got to be baptized. I heard Chris running the water up here earlier. I don't know if this one's ready, but we'll find a place for you to get baptized even tonight. And then you must live faithfully. You must continue to live faithfully, as Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 said. And then if you're an erring Christian, if you're a Christian and you've fallen away, you've done things that you shouldn't, you've not done things that you should, if it's of a public nature and you need to repent and you need to pray, then we're certainly here to help you that in that regard as well. Acts chapter 8, verse 22 says that. If we can be of any assistance to you in any way, please come forward as we stand, as we sing.